Let's open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, dear God. I thank you for your blessings. Lord, just thank you for the opportunity to meet together again this evening. Lord, I pray you just lead, God, and direct, Father. Help us to love you more. Help us to draw close to you. I pray you'd open your word to us, Lord. And help us as we sing these songs, Lord, that we would just glorify you and lift our voices up to you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able to stand, we'll start off on page 52 in the hymn book. Page number 52. To God be the glory. Sunday morning. I think about 10 o'clock right now.
What about those issues with the Constitution?
Yeah, that'll be part of the Sunday. I'm going to do actually. It'll be a Sunday school lesson. So I'll be going through Sunday. It probably might take two Sunday school lessons to go through what I put together. And I'm also going to try. I know the church has done some different things sometimes for Memorial Day, from what I've heard, prayer breakfasts and things like that. I've had a few people talk to me about some different things, one of them being the prayer breakfast, and then some others talking about a picnic or something along those lines for Memorial Day. So I'm going to look into, I'd like to try to just do this time just a Memorial Day picnic on that Saturday before Memorial Day, 529. I'm still looking into it. There's Canal Park there off of Dolphin Road, and I saw some people out there today doing a party using the grills and things like that. So I'm going to look into it a little bit more. But I'd like just to do a little something different than a prayer breakfast this time and just get together as a church together, just grill out a little bit, enjoy some fellowship with one another in the afternoon for a few hours, and just spend some time together as a church before Memorial Day that Monday. But I'm still looking into it to make sure it's okay to be able to do a picnic there, that area. I think that's all I have off the top. What's that?
Is the church Is the evening service changing this coming Sunday?
Yes, ma'am. This Sunday, 5-2, am I right?
5:30,
not? May 2nd, my fault. 5:30. This Sunday will be at 5:30 instead of 6:30. So I'll mention it again Sunday morning. I believe you put it on. It's on the website too, correct? I saw that on there. Thank you for that. I think that's all I have. I can think off the top of my head. Also, we got a letter from Brother Hitchin. He wrote, "Dear Pastor Welton and friends, it was a great blessing to be there for the installation service last Sunday. It was our pleasure to be able to help in the services during the last 4 years. We love you and continue to pray for you in Christ, Brother Bob and Sister Charlotte Hitchens. Thank you so much for the gift basket." So that was a nice card that they sent us. Also we got back there too, the cards for Brother Zimmerman, Brother Strong, and Brother Reno that we're going to try to get. I'm going to keep those back there through this Sunday. So if anybody hasn't signed those, we'll keep those back there through next Sunday and then send them off the beginning of next week. I believe that's all I have right now. Let's go real quick the memory verse there in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter number 2. And verse 11 through 14. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, 11 through 14. Let's say it together. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Amen. Amen. So for last song we'll sing this evening, let's go to page number 819. 819. Constantly Abide.
Trials of mine.
this evening. Before we go into the lesson this evening, Sister Barb. Amen. So if you didn't hear, she said Luke Boyd, her grandson, thank the Lord, he's able to get into the Salvation Army's rehab, which is pretty good compared to some others that you can get involved in. So just pray for him. She says he'll probably be there for about another 6 months, but she got his address, so I'm going to try writing him a letter. So just pray that the letter she writes and the letter I write, that the Lord would just touch his heart, because his heart is kind of hard right now. Understandably so, the life he's lived is a pretty rough life, and being involved in drugs definitely affects your mind and heart as well. So just pray for the opportunity. The Lord just bless those letters that he would read them and think about his soul. Amen. Does anybody else have anything? Brother Chris?
A gentleman named Carmelo Rivera.
Carmelo Rivera.
Invited to church this Sunday. And I got off the bus down at the AT, Allentown Transportation Center, and immediately judged this man because he was talking to somebody else, and you could tell he was like browbeating him. And just, oh, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, oh, you know, give it a rest. And so he walks to a bus and then walks back and says, that's not the right bus. I'm taking the 319. Well, I happen to know that that was the last, the 319 had left like a half hour before, and that was the last one of the day. So I knew the Lord was pushing me. Go ahead. And so I talked to him on the bus, and I just said, well, look, you just hang with me, and I have to go to the store, but you come with me, and we'll take an Uber home. So that was good, and I'm just going to enlist anybody who is willing to pick him up on Sunday morning at the bottom of the hill where the bridge, the Ministry Bridge, he's on the Whitehall side.
Okay. All right. So keep Carmelo Rivera in prayer that he'd come out Sunday.
Oh, and another interesting thing is that for 3 weeks, he has not been picked up by the Spanish church that he usually goes to.
Okay.
And he does speak enough English so he would understand his service here.
Amen. Will do, definitely. So keep him in prayer that the Lord would just open a door that the Lord would have, and he'd come out this Sunday. Amen. Anybody else have, Brother Jim?
Yeah. Pray for David, Donna's son. Mm-hmm. He came home, but he came back up. They got a house in Cherry Hill, so he's back up here. Okay. And today he went to visit Donna, and Donna was really shook up because he did not look well at all. So just pray for him and pray that he heard the gospel, he knows all about it. Just pray that he makes a decision soon.
Amen. So keep David in prayer. I know he's got cancer and he's battling cancer. That's Miss Donna's son. So pray the Lord would just work on his heart. He'd see his need of salvation. Sister Kathy.
And my brother-in-law, Dave, I sent that material off to him, so just pray that
Amen.
His heart is right. And
yes, ma'am. Will do. So keep Dave in prayer as well, that he'll read the material he got.
We have some very good tracks here on the Messiah. I sent that along,
Amen.
Too.
Amen. I think, brother, I really do think, my mind's kind of jumbled up a little bit this evening. Just some things just thinking about today. And it just makes you wonder, I believe the time is short, but there just seems to be a, I don't even know how to explain it, like a slow shift away. I mean, I know things haven't been normal since last year, beginning of last year since COVID hit. But it just seems like there's like this shift away from everything that's ever been known into this unknown realm. It just, things just don't seem normal anymore. I saw an article today, just there in New York City, to where there's different groups, political groups and whatnot, that are requesting less police presence. You saw that at different Jewish areas and sites and things where this anti-Semitic thing is now it's creeping up more and more in the states here towards the Jews. And you say, well, you know, is God dealing with the Jews right now as a nation? No, but what concerns me about that is, okay, if you're going to do this to the Jews, what are you going to do to true Bible-believing Christians? You know, if they really knew what we believe or follow what we believe, okay, so they're going to persecute the Jews. What are they going to do to Christians, true Bible-believing Christians? And so it's just some things that have been in my mind that to be about the Father's business. We don't have much time we got left to be here. And may we just be found faithful when He comes for us. Does anybody have anything else, Sister Donna?
Two things. Pastor Reddy had emailed asking us to pray for them and for India, because things are really bad over there with the COVID. And also the Conklins.
Yes. I knew I was forgetting something. So they were in a car accident. Brother Dave and Sister Gloria, they had just got off the train with their car. I don't know how far they had traveled. It wasn't too far. And they were stopped at a stoplight, and then they got rear-ended. But it was a bad, because it was a seven-car wreck. So they were the last car to get hit. And it hurt her to where they had to take her to the hospital, and she didn't remember going to the hospital. I talked to her on the phone yesterday. She don't even remember. She remembers a little bit of the train ride. She don't remember getting off the train. She doesn't remember getting in the car. She doesn't remember being at the traffic light. And Dave had to explain those things to her in the hotel after she got released from the hospital, and she's still having trouble. They're back here now, but you could tell it still was a week after, and she's still, you could tell in her voice that she's still shook up from that accident. So just keep them in prayer. Their car was totaled, so their son had to fly down there and drive them back up here. So, yeah, just keep them in prayer as well. And also, Brother Les, keep in prayer. Went over and saw him again the other day. So keep him and Sister Nancy in prayer. Does anybody else have anything else? All right, let's take our Bibles. We'll continue on this evening here in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Second Peter chapter 1. And the more you look through 2 Peter, just the first chapter, the things that will jump out at you as you reread it and go and read it again and again and again, that the emphasis that the Holy Spirit had, the emphasis that the Holy Spirit put upon Peter's heart to look at some of these things here, and he repeats a lot of things. But look here, we'll pick up again this evening in verse number 8. It says here, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 9 this evening, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fail. Let me pray again. Heavenly Father, I pray just to help us this evening, Lord. I pray you'd open eyes and open hearts, Lord, to receive your word, Lord. I pray you'd give me the words to speak, Father. Meet with us and help us, Lord, in these last days that we're living in, dear God. Lord, that when you come home, Lord, that when you come to get us, dear Lord, and take us home, Father, that we may be found faithful. Lord, that you will be happy with us at your coming, Lord, that we'd be about your business, Father, that we wouldn't... Lord, you wouldn't catch us being caught up with the things of this life, dear God, but caught up with the things of your word. And Lord, I ask you for your wisdom and guidance now tonight, and I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. So before we look at verses 8 and 9, I want you to look at verse number 8. And in verse 8, he says, for if these things, okay, if these things be in you. And then look at verse number 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind. And then look at verse number 10, the latter part of verse number 10. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. Then go to verse number 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. And then in verse 15, the latter part, to have these things. There's a lot of emphasis here in the first 15 verses of these things. So we looked at last week a little bit. What are those things that he's talking about that need to abound in our life, that need to be evident in our life? And they are, you know, the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ, our Savior. We need to be knowledgeable of those things of his divine power that he's given to all of us that pertain to life and godliness, to the precious promises so that we escape the corruption that's in the world. And he says, then these things and these building blocks, but not only the building blocks, look at verse number 5, and we went through it. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and then he says to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. So I kind of went through those specific words as like building blocks to our faith. You know, you start with virtue, then we start with faith and virtue, and not, and you add to these things to culminate with charity. But the more I look at it and the more I see what Peter's saying about these things, and then also talking about remembrance, 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 don't forget about these things. To me, it's also what we're going to look at tonight is more so also a litmus test to make sure you have what you claim to say you have in Jesus Christ. Okay? A litmus test, something that you can check back on and say, well, yeah, I do have godliness in my life. Yes, I do. I am showing brotherly kindness. Yes, I am growing in patience. Yes, temperance is starting to work out in my life. And I'm able to add diligence to these things. I'm able to focus in on them and try to grow them in my life. Those things need to be evident in you. Now look what he says in verse number eight. He says, for if these things be in you and abound, the things that we looked at, verses 1 through 7, if they abound in your life, they make you that you'll neither be barren nor unfruitful in what? In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're able to add these things to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, they're going to make you to where you're not barren or unfruitful in your knowledge of Jesus. So the more you're able to put these things in your life, the more your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to grow in your life. The more fruit of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be evident in your life when you implement these things that he set up. Knowledge means this, a clear and certain perception of that which exists. And you say, think about that for a second. Knowledge is this, a clear and certain perception of that which exists. Why would you say that? Because he says in verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind. You can lose your sight of the Lord Jesus Christ if you don't add these things to your faith. And you're going to forget that you were purged from your old sins. Take your Bible and look at Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 17. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 17. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 17 says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Now, we cross-reference that back over to 2 Peter, where he talks about in the verse 9, we're going to get to it, about how they can be blind and forget that they were purged from their old sins. Here Paul's telling those there at Ephesus is this, I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. He says in verse 18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Why? Because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But look what he says in verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, verse 8 says, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here it says, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. That verse there, verse 22, goes back to 2 Peter chapter 2. I believe it's verse number, hang on one second here. get back there. Verse number 4, where it talks about having escaped the corruption in this world through lust. Look what he says here to those at Ephesus. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. If you desire to live in the with the old man daily, you're going to be deceived. You're going to forget about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done and what he did on the cross of Calvary. If you emphasize and don't put off the old man and put on a new man, the Bible says you could corrupt yourself to where you forget that you were purged even from your old sins. How can you get to a point in your Christian walk to where you can forget that you were purged from your sins? How can you get in your Christian walk to where you can deny the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? We were talking about it earlier this evening, Brother Glenn and I and Brother Jim. I it doesn't compute in my mind how you get to a point, like I said Sunday, to where you don't put the emphasis on the blood of Christ. But the Bible gives us direct. Paul saying here to Ephesus, 1 Peter saying to those that the letter he wrote there in 2 Peter, talking about that ye put off. That means you have to put off daily concerning your former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. And look what he says in verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Putting off and putting off the old man, putting on the new man, so that you don't forget. So you don't seem to fall short of the things that God has for you. Now verse 21 in Ephesians chapter 4 says this, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. He's telling those brethren there in Ephesus, he says, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Take your Bible and look over at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 3. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 3. Now, 2 Peter says that if these things be in you and abound, they make you neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, or 4, verse 21 says, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Now look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen, and there's the word, and heard, declare we unto you that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now that cross reference is right back to Ephesians chapter number 4, verse 22, verse 21. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. These are serious matters because John says here in his first chapter that if we say that we have fellowship with him, yet we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. John's calling it out here and Paul called it out there and to the Ephesians. Listen, if you say you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, yet you continue to walk in darkness, you're lying. You're lying. Some people scratch their head. Well, they got saved, but they're not in church. They got saved, but they haven't been to church in 5 years. Something's not right, brethren. Something's not right. Something is not right if someone claims to have gotten saved but hasn't darkened or come through the doors of a church in 10 years. Something's not right. It's foreign to me. The Bible says in Hebrews, forsaking not the assembling yourselves together. Like I said, when I got saved, I didn't need somebody telling me to come to church. I wanted to be in church. Automatically, I wanted to be in church. And me and Melanie were talking about this morning. When I got saved, I was putting everything in my mouth that said Jesus, that had Jesus on it. Everything. If it had Jesus on it or God, I wanted it. I was like, give me all this that I can get and learn. things that weren't, now I wouldn't go to it and learn, but at the time it was like the Lord knew I was a little baby, and he's just like, he knew I was just hungry for whatever. Paul, look, you say, well, Brother Chris, you're pretty hard on this. Yes, I have to be. Because Peter was pretty hard on it. John's pretty hard on it. 1 John chapter 3, he says, if ye say that ye have fellowship with him, if you say that you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and you continue to walk in darkness, he calls you, he's saying you lie. He says, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And look, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, what did it say you can forget in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9? You can forget that you were purged from your old sins. You could forget the blood of Jesus Christ, that it is that blood that cleanses you from all sins. Something's not right. Somebody's forgetting something. Somebody's not putting the emphasis on the right areas if they're forgetting the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Something's wrong somewhere. Brother, the enemy is continually vigilant. The enemy of our souls continually looking for opportunities to destroy our testimony and our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and to get us turned aside unto something else other than what the Word of God says. Where is the power? It's in the blood. Amen. There's no power without the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. I was wondering, this hymn book here don't have that hymn in it. Oh, it does in there. Good. And it has nothing but the blood. Amen. As I was looking through that, I didn't see, thank the Lord. What'd you say, brother? A lot of new hymnals are taking it out. Why? Why are you messing with the blood? Why are the new Bibles messing with the blood? Colossians chapter 1:14, some of the newer Bibles take out that verse there. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, growing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bible and 1 John chapter 2, verse number 3. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 3. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. Look what it says here. It says, hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. That's the second time that John's called somebody who claims to know the Lord Jesus Christ, yet denies him in their actions, as a liar. Now, I'm not saying this evening that you don't have struggles. No, we have struggles, but you ought to see some fight through those struggles. Does it make sense? I say I know the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, I'm not where I need to be. When I first got saved, I definitely wasn't where I need to be. But I can look back and I see the Lord helping me and growing me through the last 20 years of my life. Have I fallen a lot of times? Yes, absolutely. But I've seen the Lord there help me get back up and continue on the fight. What concerns me, though, is those that say that they know the Lord Jesus Christ, yet they keep not his commandments. And the Bible says here in 1 John 2:4 that the truth is not in them. Take your Bible, look at chapter, look at verse number 25, same chapter. 1 John chapter 2, and look at verse number 25. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written to you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. The teaching of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. Look, it's good to come to church. It's good to have a pastor. It's right. It's correct. It's good to listen. You can listen to Bible teaching and preaching. You can read some good books that can help you grow in the Lord Jesus Christ by some good men who have some good things written. But ultimately, you should be able to say that the Holy Spirit is teaching you as you open up his word. You ought to be able to open up your Bible, and the Holy Spirit ought to bear witness with your spirit as you're reading through, to have things jump out at you that would help you in your individual walk with the Lord. You and the Holy Spirit, you and the Lord Jesus Christ, a walk together to where he's speaking to your heart and talking to you about things that are occurring in your life that he would like you to grow in. Now, I'm not talking about an audible voice in your mind that you hear or a vision. I'm talking about the Spirit just bearing witness with your spirit to the Word of God as you read it and you study it. You ought to be able to be taught by the precious Holy Spirit of God, as John says here in chapter number 2. Take your Bible and look over at chapter 3, verse 24. Same chapter, or same book, 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us. Look at, by the Spirit which he hath given us. How do we know we're saved? We know we're saved because of the Spirit that he's given us. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're a child of God. That's how I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved because I have the Holy Spirit dwelling within me, bearing witness with my spirit that I'm saved. Have there been some times that I've doubted? Yes. But I would have to, at certain points, I would have to lie to say that I'm not saved. Immediately, if I say, well, I'm not, it's like the Holy Spirit pricks me and says, no, you're one of mine. So the Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God, that you've been born again of God. And that Paul says there back in Ephesians chapter 4 that you put off the old man and put on the new man. For what purpose? Why do you have to put off the old man and put on the new man? Because of what is said in 2 Peter chapter 1. That you're neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse number 9 in 2 Peter chapter 1. So Peter goes on to the brethren, telling them in this letter, he says in verse 9, but he says here, but he that lacketh these things, the things listed in verses 1 through 7, he says the man or woman that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Lack means this, to want or to be destitute of, to not possess. Blind means destitute of sense of seeing either by natural defect or by deprivation. In Scripture, blind implies not only to want of discernment, but of moral depravity. Peter says, but he that lacks these things is blind and he cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Take your Bible and look over at Mark chapter number 10. He says he lacks these things. Look over at Mark chapter number 10 and verse 17. Peter said that he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. Look at Mark chapter 10 and verse number 17. We'll read through verse 22. He says here, it says, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do to that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. And then look what Jesus says to him. He says, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. Now, isn't it interesting what the Lord tells him when he asked, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He didn't say, believe on me. What did he tell him? He says, thou knowest the commandments. That's very interesting. Jesus looks at this man, this rich young ruler comes running up to him and says, Lord, he says, Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus first says, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, and that is God. But then he says this, he looks at him, he says, thou knowest the commandments. You want eternal life? You know the commandments. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not steal, bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. But look at the man says in verse number 20. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. He says, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. This man wasn't being completely honest with himself. You say, I believe today you could say something, somebody come up to you and say, what must I do to have eternal life? I believe you could look at him and say, keep the commandments. Think about that for a second. If someone is honestly, sincerely seeking truth and wants to know truth, and you tell them, keep the commandments, what should it eventually bring them to come back to you and say something? they should eventually come back to you and say, I can't do it. That's what should happen. If they're honest and sincere and they go back home and they start trying to do the Ten Commandments, just the Ten Commandments, if they're honest with themselves, just with the very first commandment, they should say, I'm sunk. And they should come back to you and say, you're a liar. You told me to keep the commandments to have eternal life. I can't keep it. And you can say, yeah, exactly. Now you're where you need to be. You now realize yourself compared to what God set up as the set of rules or the set of statutes or laws in order to inherit eternal life. You need to keep the commandments and be perfect. Well, if any individual, they're going to be like, well, I'm not perfect. I can't keep it exactly. That's why Jesus Christ had to die for you. And there's your opportunity to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, so many people today are given the gospel of Jesus Christ, but they don't realize what they are before God. They've never come to the realization of what they truly are before a holy God, that they're a sinner, that they're wicked, that they're undone, and their iniquities have separated them from God. See, we take a shortcut, we just get them to say something, or believe in Jesus, but they've never come to a realization or have been convicted by the Holy Ghost of their sin before God and them truly realizing what they are before God. The Holy Ghost dealing with them of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. The Holy Ghost dealing with them. The Holy Ghost bearing witness. The Holy Ghost bringing conviction. And when that is in play, and someone comes along and says, well, here's Jesus, they grab a hold of it and take it and run with it. God transformed through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus deals with this heart, with the heart with this man. This man thinks he's good. He says, I've kept all the commandments. He says, from my youth, I've observed all these things you've told me to do. But Jesus looks at him and says, one thing you're lacking. One thing you're lacking. And it kind of reminds me of Paul dealing with Felix. He kind of zeroes in. The Holy Spirit uses Paul to zero in on that individual, and temperance was his issue. Here, the Lord zeroing in on a heart issue of this young man, and that heart issue with this young man was his riches. This man did all the commandments that he needed to do. He didn't commit adultery. He didn't kill nobody. From what he said, he hasn't stolen. He didn't bear false witness. He didn't defraud anybody. And he honored his mom and dad. And the Lord acknowledged, he said, but one thing you're lacking. Go sell all you got and come follow me. And look what he says in verse number 22. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. You see, salvation is this. Salvation is you being willing to give up. That's what salvation is. Salvation is you just being willing to give up you and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. You realizing what you are before God, that you're nothing without him, that he sent his Savior, Jesus Christ, to die on that cross, shed his blood. He rose again the third day, and he's made a way out for you to forgive your sins. And you acknowledge that, you receive that, you take hold of that, and you have eternal life. This young man wasn't willing to give it up, or at least the Bible doesn't show that he was willing to give it up, because the Bible says that he went away sad at that saying, and he was grieved because he had great possessions. This is the question. Are you willing to give something up in order to come to the Lord? Is there something, a God that's in your life? The God that was in this young man's life was his riches. And he did not, at least what the scriptures show at that point, he wasn't willing to give up those riches that he had in order to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says there in 2 Peter, but he that lacketh these things is blind. Jesus looked at this young man. He said, one thing thou lackest. Go sell all that you have. Give to the poor, and you have treasures in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me. The next thing he said there in 2 Peter, he says, not only do you lack these things, but you're blind. And you've forgotten that you've been purged from your old sins. Take your Bible and look at Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 14. Lacking and being blind. And it causes you to forget that you were purged from your old sins. That young man lacked one thing and he wasn't willing to give up, at least from what the Bible showed. And if he didn't turn from his riches, he lost an opportunity for eternal life. Here in Revelation chapter 3, the Lord dealing with the church there at Laodicea, he says in verse 14, and unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot, and I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. And then he says in verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He says in verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore and repent. The Lord's telling this last church, it was a physical church that existed back then at the time of John, but also it's a church age here, Laodicean church age, and he's telling them, he's saying, listen, you're rich, you're increased with goods, you have need of nothing, but you don't realize that you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, and then he says, you don't even realize that you're blind and you're naked, and he tells them, he says, listen, anoint your eyes with eye salve, why? That you may see. And it kind of goes back to what Peter's telling the church or the brethren he's writing to that letter. He says, look, you've lacking these things. If these things aren't in you, you cannot see afar off and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. If we get caught up with the world and the things that the world has to offer us, we're going to lose sight of what God puts the emphasis on. If we get caught up with everything that's going on in society, in the world, the lights, the glitter, the sparkle, the taste of the good things of the world, we're going to start forgetting some things. And Jesus tells this last church age, these Laodiceans, he says, you're lukewarm. The Lord's telling him, he's saying, listen, I wish you were even cold or hot, but you're in this lukewarm state of just this mush of not, you're not this or you're not that. You're just kind of in this inert state towards doing you no good. He says, I counsel you to buy me gold tried in the fire, that you might be rich, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And the wonderful thing about the Lord is what he says in verse 19. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And then he says in verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. There's many churches today to where the Lord is standing at the door on the outside knocking to try to get in. He's not even being allowed into his own church to where he's standing on the outside knocking at the door in order to come in. If we open the door, the Bible says here in 20 that he'll come in and he'll sup with us and he'll have fellowship with us and we'll have fellowship with him. I guess this evening, to get you to think about what's written there in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, if you flip back over there real quick, is this notion of what Peter's trying to get across, that if you don't apply these things, if we don't try to help these things grow in our life, if we don't desire to have a life that is a godly life, that's a holy life, that's a pleasing life to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're going to fall back into those things that we were before we were saved, and that we could get to a point to where we can even forget of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary and how he purged us through his blood, our sins. Taking some time, maybe the rest of this week, to read about what the Lord went through on the cross of Calvary. Thinking about what Jesus did for us and how Jesus lived his life. It said you can be barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus. How did Jesus live? How did Jesus walk? How did Jesus talk? How did Jesus conduct himself when he was on this earth? The Bible said he didn't have a place to lay his head. He said, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He was continually about the Father's business. You see, as we learn of Jesus, then we can start implementing the way the Lord walked in our own life, consistently being about our Father's business, realizing that this world is not our home, we're just passing through, and to be faithful to the things that the Lord may have us do daily, a consistent walk with him. That's a difficult thing, to have a consistency. It's a difficult thing to be consistent. We're talking about, you know, talking about just a simple thing like exercise. Exercise is good. Exercise is good if you get out, walk around, move around, what you can do. But how hard is it to stay consistent with exercising? How hard is it to stay consistent when you try to start eating right? It seems immediately that you start trying to eat right and do a diet that 10 people drop off 30 desserts at your house. I'm just being funny. It is. It's like you go to everybody's house and like, oh, I'll take this dessert. It's like, you know, you're... But think of it in a spiritual realm. Think about that. If it happens in the physical realm, if it's hard to get up early to go for a run, or if it's hard when you get home to go take a walk, or if it's hard when you want that hamburger and french fries to eat the salad, when you try to start implementing something that's good in your life, that's right physically to help you physically, which is right, look at all the battles that start happening. Try to knock you off course of trying to just help your physical body. Think of that then in the spiritual realm. When you say, you know what, I'm going to start trying to memorize some more verses. I'm going to try to start spending some more time in prayer. I'm going to start trying to spend a little more time in my Bible study. I'm going to try to start implementing this in my life and things that are spiritual. If you're going to have those struggles on the physical side, the same attacks and the same struggles are going to occur on the spiritual side. And Peter is telling his brethren in his second letter, he's saying, listen, I don't want you to forget. I want you continually to remember, to remember, to remember these things, these things, these things. He continually repeats himself through the whole first chapter of going back to those things that he says that we need to put the emphasis on so that we don't forget. We don't forget Jesus and how he lived his life. Because how Jesus lived his life is the same way that God wants us to live our life. We'll close up with 1 John again to just back up what I just said there. Our life ought to be a mirror of the Lord Jesus Christ. And look what it says again here in 1 John. Well, look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Look what it says. Behold, and this is a whole other Bible study here, but look what John says. It says, behold, what manner of love, the love that the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Now, I'm almost done. Think about this, though. Look what John's telling the brethren there. He says, behold, number one, what manner of love. Someone that loves you with a love that's uncomprehendable. The creator of the universe, our Holy Father there in heaven, he says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should have the privilege and the honor to be called the sons of God. There's no greater honor on this planet than the honor to be called a son of God. You can keep the Nobel Peace Prize. You can keep the Medal of Honor and all these things that man wants to bestow upon another man, and some of them are good and right, but they pale in comparison to the honor of being called a son of God. John realizes that, and he's trying to get the brethren to realize. He says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, because of that honor, therefore, because that you're now called a son of God, the world knoweth us not. Because why? Because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now. Not future. Not at some other point.
If you're saved tonight, you are now a son of God. And he says, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then I love verse number 3. And every man that hath this hope, in him purify himself, even as Jesus, even as he is pure. Do you see what that produces? As it goes back in line of what's mentioned there in 1 Peter or 2 Peter chapter 1, implementing these things that you neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll have this attitude, you'll have this mindset that you see this hope that someday Jesus Christ is going to call us home and we are his son. And he says that this man that has this hope, he purifies himself even as he is pure. Why? Because someday the Lord's coming back to call us home. The world doesn't know us. May we not live our life to be accepted by the world, but accepted by Jesus Christ. May we live our life to not be accepted by the world, but be accepted by Jesus Christ. Listen, I'm telling you, you start trying to live for the Lord in godliness and holiness, it's going to be an offense to the world. They're not going to like it. And it's not that you're trying to do anything to be offensive. It's just because you're trying to live closer to God, and this world wants nothing to do with it. The world knows it. The world will know us not. The world does not understand a true Christian and how a true Christian lives, walks, dresses, acts, listens to, watches. The world does not understand it. The world can't comprehend it. It's foreign to them. Why? Because it's spiritual. And they can't understand spiritual, but only the natural things. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, I thank you for the great honor this evening, Lord, that we can be called the sons of God. Lord, I pray you'd help us to glean from 2 Peter chapter 1, Lord, that letter that Peter wrote to the brethren all those years ago, Lord, that we would learn from it, dear God, that we would be partakers of the divine nature in all life and godliness, Father, that we grab a hold of these exceeding great and precious promises, Lord. Lord, that we would add to our faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and brotherly love and kindness and charity, Lord, that patience would be exhibited in our life, dear Lord. And Lord, that those things would be in us, that they would abound, dear God, and that we would grow, that our knowledge of your precious Son, Jesus Christ, would just grow in our lives, and that we would have fellowship with him, Lord, and we would walk daily with you and be faithful to you, Lord, till someday when you call us home, dear Lord. Lord, that we wouldn't be called home in a lukewarm state, dear God, that we'd be called home in a state that is pleasing in your sight. Lord, help us now. Help us to live for you. Help us to love you. And help us just to be a light and a testimony to this world. And help us now as we go before your throne as individual groups, dear God, that Lord, we remember these prayer requests that were brought up. Lord, we remember our missionaries. We remember different churches around here that are preaching the truth. Lord, that we just remember one another, Lord, and lift each other up to the throne. Lord, help us now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, brethren. Love you. Take some time here and pray.